the bottom line. So we already all know how this ends.
I'm Acadia Einstein, and this is Strangeful Things.
Ready. Go.
Will you come back to me?
Not so fast. What are these?
Strangeful Things.
Well, hello there, guys. How are we doing today? I'm B-Nev, and we have Acadia Einstein, as usual, and Jennifer Martinelli. We are short one of the fellow companions, and that is Christy Stevens tonight. But you can follow all of us on Twitter. You can follow Acadia at Acadia. That's a no-brainer there. Jennifer Martinelli at Jen Martinelli. Myself, BNev, at Brittany _Nevin. And of course, Strangeful Podcast at Strangeful Pod.
Yeah. Christy's Twitter sucks, so she has to do the Strangeful Things one.
Well, you know, that's true, because it gets too confusing. It's kind of like when people have emails that make no sense. It's kind of like the same thing, where it's like their name is like John Smith, but their email is like
Mr. Bunny 6969 at AOL.
Thundersword.1219.
Did you say Thundersore?
Thundersword.
And then, why are you here at the doctor's today? I have a thundersore.
Like a boil or a cyst.
Oh, God.
Well, that's going to be a topic.
I know you love that kind of talk. I did have a great cyst to extract first
thing this
morning.
No, I'm taking the headphones off.
That's the audio equivalent of peeking through your fingers. And you know what? A good idea would be next week, when I am whooping it up at my college reunion, you guys should record the gross stuff that comes out of your skin episode while I'm not around.
Well, that does sound like a great idea, and I wish that my fellow companions at times did have gross skin, but unfortunately, I've already helped them. Not that they ever had gross skin. I'm sure that you fill that void, between this fellow companions group of having the gross skin, but I've already helped the ladies.
That's right.
No, I know, so. But you can still tell the story about people that know that whose names will be revealed that had, like, that thought they had a mole, but it was a jelly bean stuck in their crack or whatever.
Oh my gosh. That happens so much. It makes me laugh.
So gross. It's so gross. I'm going to throw up now. Okay.
Right. Let's jelly beans. Oh my They're God. Delicious.
Oh well, my God.
And that is probably one of the worst things that you'll hear on tonight's show.
Well, it is called A Marvel to Behold.
That's right. This episode is about a man named Israel Keyes. And we're going to get very, very, very in depth into the things that he done.
He done did.
Yeah, that he done did. And we're going to start, though, by talking about where he lived, the beautiful town of Anchorage, Alaska. Anchorage, that is the most populous city in our largest state, and it has about 280,000 people in it. And so, just to give you perspective, even though there's less than 300,000 people living in Anchorage, that accounts for about 40% of the entire population of Alaska.
Well, there you go.
Wow. Does that include the bears?
No, these are only people numbers. Only bears, actually, and Bigfoots have their own
different census.
That we're not allowed to look at because of ancient treaties.
Yes.
Anchorage is about the same distance from New York as it is from Tokyo. And as a result, it's a major refueling stop for airlines. Mm. But just having an input, there's actually a big FedEx facility in Anchorage because of its global operations, whatever. Mm. But having a big important airport doesn't really make your state super popular. Plus, when you're as big as Alaska is, it's kind of hard to like get a whole bunch of population going. So just so that everybody understands what we're talking about, let's do a population density breakdown just using us.
Okay.
I'm just going to count you as District of Columbia, Brit, because no one cares about slavey Virginia.
I resent that.
Well, you can't. It's out there now.
But actually, it's kind of all the same thing. We call it the DMV.
So the District of Columbia is the most dense place in the United States. It's 10,588 people per square mile, which seems sort of like Bombay-type numbers, but whatever. Massachusetts is number three in the U.S. with 858 people per square mile. And New York State is, that I thought was surprisingly low, only 417
people. But Massachusetts is much smaller than New York.
No, very true. And there's the whole upstate part, which I assume is just headless horsemen and whatnot.
Yeah, so basically.
Now,
and Bigfoots, maybe.
Think about it, and Bigfoot. Now, so we'll go District of Columbia, 10,000 people per square mile. Then on the other end of the scale, Alaska, number 50, 1.3 people.
I'm surprised there's even that many.
You know what? Actually, maybe I do need to go to Alaska because I'm feeling every square foot of that 10,500.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right?
All up on you.
Yes.
So on the one hand, there's so few people. If one of them goes missing and isn't found in a bear's mouth within a day or so, it's probably going to be pretty suspicious and people are going to be on the lookout.
Right.
Correct.
On the other hand, if you did kill somebody, you could basically hide them any way you wanted. So it's sort of like a killer's paradise.
Well, true. Not only that, but you got to think about the whole, like, the frozen tundra part of Alaska, too.
There's an awful lot of Alaska that it's not easy to get to.
Where it's, like, always cold. So you just put somebody out there, and the next thing that they, like, are probably, like, frozen over in a little bit. And then, and like, another, like, 15 years, they'll be like, look, we found an ancient relic.
That's true. Dress them up like an Eskimo. Put a fake saber-toothed tiger next to him. You're fine.
Exactly. They sell those fake saber-toothed tigers at Target now. They're like everywhere.
Oh my god.
I mean,
you get those easily.
I bet Sarah Palin has probably killed 30 to 40 people.
Oh my god, daily.
Right? No one would even know. And then she's
she doesn't really like need to kill them half the time. I mean, they probably just die after like
just going to midwife my daughter's 17th baby and then get on the snow machine and kill myself a liberal.
Right.
Basically. Yes.
No one would care.
That's true. So, they probably support it.
Yeah, that is true. So Alaska, if watching every fucking cable show is any judge of it, everybody that wants to go to Alaska has to make sure that they bring no nice amenities with them whatsoever. Like, that's the part I really don't understand. Like, all those shows like Buying Alaska and, hey, look, we're just one family and we're going to live all by ourselves because that's the fucking great idea. All those shows.
Horrible idea.
Why don't people make shows about, if there's only 1.3 people per square mile, why can't my square mile have like PlayStations and fucking super fast internet? Well, and
I'll tell you why. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
So I went to Alaska on vacation in 1993. We went camping and we were driving. And here's the thing. It's really hard to get stuff in Alaska. And it's really hard to have stuff in Alaska. And even stuff as simple as groceries are wicked expensive in Alaska. Because guess what? You're not growing lettuce in Alaska. And there's no Coke bottling plants in Alaska. So everything that has to come there, it's a lot of money to get it there.
Right.
So it costs a lot of money. And it's hard to get. And a lot of things you can't get. And for instance,
The people there are stupid.
Okay, hold on. They're not stupid. Just calm down. Also, like, when I was 15 and we lived in Ohio, we didn't even have cable on our street, and that was in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like they're wired for high-speed internet all over the whole state of Alaska.
Well, then why don't we fucking just get on that jam, then, and just build a greenhouse, grow some lettuce?
Where? We in Alaska?
And move to Alaska?
Well, no. We'll move to, someplace better in Canada, but or we'll
Montana.
Get, like, a hybrid car that gets good gas mileage.
And we'll drive the shit and shuttle lettuce? Right.
This
oh boy!
Is a horrible
we gotta get to the murdering.
All right, keep going. Right,
now,
move along.
Guess who didn't do any of those things? Israel Keyes.
Oh my gosh.
So here's the story. Baseline: Israel Keyes. He was born January 7th, 1978, in Richmond, Utah. He was brought up Mormon and homeschooled, which
of course,
fuck that, because no one. So, oh, where did you go to medical school? I was homeschooled
right.
at medical school.
Right. Because
fuck regular teachers and the fact that they have to study to do that job. Like, I can do it, obviously.
Anyway. So, I have thoughts about homeschool, but keep going.
While they were there, they were friends with this dude named Kirby Kehoe, which, while that's an awesome name, and his kids' names were equally awesome, Chevy and Shane, both spelled with C-H's.
Of course.
Those kids may have been white supremacists and maybe did some murders and whatnot in the 90s, but that's not really where we're going with this, except that the next place that the Keyes family went was the middle of, well, actually, I wouldn't say the middle of nowhere in Washington. It was kind of the corner of nowhere, Washington. and they were like off the grid and whatnot.
Oh my God.
They spent some time attending a church known as the Ark, which was a Christian identity church. Now, the Christian identity people believe, you know what? I'm going to let Jen tell us what the Anti-Defamation League says that the Christian identity churches believe.
Oh, I'm a little afraid.
This is wonderful. Christian identity is a religious ideology popular in extreme right-wing circles. Adherents believe that whites of European descent can be traced back to, quote, the lost tribes of Israel. Many consider Jews to be the satanic offspring of Eve and the serpent, while non-whites are, quote, mud peoples created before Adam and Eve. It's virulent. Jesus. It's virulent, racist, and anti-Semitic.
Because you had just said mud people.
I know.
Right.
I know.
Exactly. After that, everything goes downhill.
Racist and anti-Semitic beliefs are usually accompanied by extreme anti-government sentiments. Despite its small size, Christian identity influences virtually all white supremacist and extreme anti-government movements. It has also informed criminal behavior ranging from hate crimes to acts of terrorism.
So, that's Jesus Christ. We'll just set that aside.
Literally, Jesus Christ.
It's I included it because, I mean, you know, there's building blocks to, you know, everybody that decides that killing people would be awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, there's kind of indicators and stuff like that, which we're going to see pretty soon.
Right.
But this kind of, if you're raised in an environment, and it's not specifically, you know, mud peoples or, you know, Jews being the satanic offspring of Eve and the serpent, but it's the kind of thing that is not what you're going to say is on the beaten track.
Right.
So just like every person that grows up in that environment does not end up being a crazy jackhole, I'm going to say that in Israel's case, but wait a minute, this just occurred to me. His name is Israel.
Yeah.
So why would they even let him in?
That's because, you know, it's this whole weirdo Mormon things and stuff like that. Like, I'll tell you right now, they all got weirdo names. They're all weirdos. Like, I don't care if this is like hating or I don't know, whatever they want to call it. It's just a fact. I lived in Colorado for a very long time, and they're all horrible.
Basically,
all horrible.
I think anything that's very insular like that, people are pretty fucked up. I also have a question for these folks, these Christian identity folks. They think that their ancestry can be traced back to the lost tribes of Israel. Does anybody who's a super crazy Christian weirdo understand that the Israelites were Jews? Like,
I mean,
do they get that?
I hope so, but obviously
there's a major disconnect there. Like,
we don't have anybody to book somebody from Christian Identity on the show.
Yeah, we're sorry.
I guess we'll have to turn to Twitter and find out.
Oh God.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, we probably need a separate phone number for this show.
Oh, we do. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but we do.
Oh,
all
okay,
the Christian identity people can call me all day long and tell me about how I'm a mud person.
All right. Well, you know what? Can we change the phone number? I don't even know what it is yet, but we need to make an acronym for it so it's a lot easier. Yeah,
I tried. It didn't work.
Like 1-800-MUD-PEOPLE. You can call us at that.
That's handy. So now,
letters.
This is where Israel came from, and we're going to let Israel Keyes tell us a little anecdote from his childhood himself.
Here we go.
When I was 14, there were some friends staying with us, and there was a cat of ours that was always getting into the trash. I had a lot of guns, and I would always carry a gun, and I shot it in the stomach. And it ran around and around the tree and then crashed into the tree. I actually kind of laughed a little, I think, but then I looked over at everybody else and the kid who was with me, he was throwing up. Like, he was really, I don't know, traumatized, I guess you would say.
Wow.
Oh my God. Like, that almost made me cry.
Yeah, me too. This is a neat guy.
But I'm almost on my lady time, so everything is making me cry right now.
Well, I mean, that's part of the triad: the bedwetting, setting fires, and animal torture. I mean, those are are the three warning signs that
you're a murderer.
That lots of serial killers end up.
That's where they start.
Yeah, that's one of the binding factors.
Right.
At least two, maybe more of those three things. Now
abuse of some sort in their
years. There's some nature and some nurture. I would have to think that that's right. Involved in all this, but in that fucking story, I mean, he's telling the story, and whether it's nervous laughter or legit laughter or anything else, I mean, when you're 14 years old and you're kind of surprised that your friend thought it was gross that you shot a cat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
to the point where he vomited.
Right. Well, I mean, I would hate to see what happened. You know what would happen if Mrs. Zach had been there?
Oh, God.
Mrs. Zach would now be dead because she would have tried to kill him and he would have shot her.
I was going to say, I would have tried to kill him too.
Yeah.
So,
we'd all be dead.
So now, where we got that clip from and why we know so much about Israel is because there's hours and hours and hours and hours of time that he spent getting interviewed by the FBI, and it all got recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I promise that we're going to get to why they were talking to him. It was not because of the cat, even though you could make a strong case for it.
Yeah.
But I want us
to... The FBI doesn't usually look that up.
Unless the cat's from another state. so... We're going to learn a little bit more about Israel, and Britt is going to be the one that shares it.
I'm pretty excited about sharing all this but I also am very sad that I'm not on the other side of this podcast just listening to it, because that's how exciting our shows usually are.
That's right.
That's quite an endorsement. Our show is so good, I wish I wasn't doing it.
Well, I wish I could just sometimes just listen to it. I mean, sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent, but I mean, of course, I listen to myself on the show, or I listen to the show even when I'm not on it,
right?
You know, and it's kind of like I still have that ooh factor even while we're doing it.
Right.
Well, I'm glad. Well, you're gonna ooh some people now.
I know. It's my turn now, bitches. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. So here are some very basic bio facts that don't involve shooting cats. So Keyes joined the Army in 1998 at age 20 and served at Fort Lewis, Washington, Fort Hood, Texas, and also in Egypt. He was honorably discharged in the year 2001. He had a daughter around 2002. He had a live-in girlfriend. He had a successful construction contracting business in Alaska. His work ethic was praised by many, and he was a good friend and neighbor. So far, we're looking at a pretty basic life because most people probably don't know about the cat issue.
That could be anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's about it. Now, here are some things taken directly from the FBI website where they are officially asking the public for help with figuring out what the actual, I got CNEV next to me, F-U-C-K, this nutball was up to.
All right.
Awesome.
Kids first, guys. Kids first.
That's right.
Not a... They shouldn't be listening. Go on.
Summer 1997 or summer 1998. Keyes stated he abducted a female in the late afternoon or early evening while she and friends were tubing on the Deschutes River. Keyes sexually assaulted the female. He let her go and sent her on her tube back down the river. The victim in this case was between 14 and 18 years old. Investigators do not believe the sexual assault was reported to law enforcement. Keyes was living in Maupin, Oregon at the time, and the abduction location is believed to be near Maupin. July 2001 to October 2001, Keyes resided in Nebaugh, Washington, and committed his first homicide. The identity and location of the victim are unknown. July 2001 to 2005, Keyes stated he murdered an unidentified couple in Washington. Keyes refused to tell law enforcement if the couple was married or what the relationship to one another was. It is unknown if the victims were residents of Washington, tourists, or residents he abducted from a nearby state and transported to Washington. Keyes alluded to the fact these victims were buried in a location near a valley. Keyes may have moved the victim's car to place distance between where the vehicle was found and where the crime occurred. 2005 to 2006, summer or fall months, Keyes admitted that he committed two murders independent of one another. Keyes used his boat to dispose of the bodies of these victims. Keyes stated at least one of the bodies was disposed of in Crescent Lake in Washington, where he used anchors to submerge the body. Keyes reported the body was submerged in more than 100 feet of water. Jesus. Keyes may have moved the victim's car to place distance again between where the vehicles were found and where the crime occurred. The identity of these victims is unknown.
Jesus.
March. I know. Like, wait, Jen. Wait.
We're not done. Keep going.
March 1st, 2007 to March 9th, 2007. Keyes drove from Nebaugh, Washington to Anchorage, Alaska, where he resided until his arrest. Keyes traveled the Alaska-Canadian Highway, making known stops in, and I'm just going to guess how this is pronounced, Catch Creek, British Columbia, Watson Lake, Yukon, Destruction Bay, Yukon, and Teslin, Yukon, Keyes crossed the border into Alaska on March 9th, 2007.
So, who would want to live in Destruction Bay, Yukon?
Yeah, you know, a lot of these names are not really surprising me when we're dealing with these types of stories.
Right? So, go ahead.
Oh, well, the reason that this part was even in here is because the FBI literally put all this shit up and said, this is the stuff that the guy said, this is the stuff that we know. We can't fill in any of these gaps.
Right. Somebody tell us what happened.
Yeah, somebody tell us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just before he got to Alaska.
Right.
Right.
By the way, just for a little background, that area of Canada, because that's where we drove through, because when I went, we drove from Washington State to Alaska as well. And the Alaska-Canadian Highway is like basically the only road.
I had heard that before.
There aren't like 50 different highways. There's one highway. That's the mm-hmm. one road that you drive on, and then everything else is like a dirt road or like a local road. There's no other like throughways. So there's only, you know, he could have only been in like one place as, you know what I mean? He was on this road, so he was stopping along that road. There was nowhere else to be.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's funny. I just had a friend PCS to Alaska. I'm sorry. Which means a permanent change of station in the Army.
Yes.
He was supposed to be going to Savannah. Him and his wife were supposed to be going to Savannah, Georgia. And about a month before his PCS date, they said, nope, you're going to Alaska. And,
surprise!
And here's the real great kicker. It's the northernmost station that the Army has, that they have a full-time, you know, soldiers there and everything like that, to where they'd actually have his job title there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's like the coldest place in Alaska also.
Lovely.
And because it is still considered to be, of course, the United States, they were forced to drive.
Oh,
they were not allowed to fly. They were forced to drive because
that's the way you have to travel within the U.S. Oh my God.
Nice. Yeah. Because they think it costs them less. Yeah.
Okay.
So. That's a lot of fun facts there.
Well, maybe the Army drove him to it then, because he was in the Army. So now
he was.
Obviously, you probably all figured out now that Mr. Keyes was indeed a serial killer. Mm-hmm. And I say that he was, because remember at the beginning in the open when the guy said, we all already know how this ends?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was Keyes. And what he meant is actually a big part of the story. He offered to give full details of all his crimes if he was put on death row and executed right away, or he would take care of it himself. And we'll hear about that in more detail later.
Jesus.
But on December 1st, 2012, someone forgot to take away his safety razor. He embedded the blade into a pencil and he slit his wrists.
Ugh.
With a sharp blade.
Stop! I'm going to take my headphones out.
Oh my gosh.
He left behind his daughter, a whole shit ton of unanswered questions, and a blood-soaked four-page suicide note that was, at least to me, like a lame-ass attempt to sound super cool.
Oh, God.
But I will admit, this part's a bit creepy, so I will use a stupid voice to read it in order to lighten it up a little.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
Now that you have held tight, I will tell you a story. Speak soft in your ear so you know that it's true. You're my love at first sight, and though you're scared to be near me, my words penetrate your thoughts now in an intimate prelude.
Jesus.
I looked in your eyes. They were so dark, warm, and trusting, as though you had not a worry or care. The more guileless the game, the better potential to fill up those pools with your fear. Your face framed in dark curls like a portrait. The sun shone through highlights of red. What color, I wonder, and how straight will it turn plastered back with the sweat of your blood?
Jesus.
Your wet lips were a promise of a secret unspoken, nervous laugh as it burst like a pulse of blood from your throat. There will be no more laughter here.
Jesus now. Christ, that's part of his suicide note?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, he had four pages to fill up, so why not write a creepy, not really poem about somebody that he murdered?
Was that about somebody that I'm like so confused? Like, I thought that was like for his daughter or something. I was really starting to like be like, okay.
Yeah, until he said how straight her hair would be plastered back with the sweat of her blood.
Right, yeah. Then it all went downhill.
Yeah, that was you were skirting a B there, Israel, until you got to stanza three and then it went right off the table. So now we're going to talk about, so he's dead.
Clearly.
Now we're going to, in time, and go back to 2012, the beginning of 2012. Now, he killed himself in December. But on February 1st, 2012, Keyes planned on killing a teenage girl who worked in a coffee shop. Tragically, you can actually see the entire kidnapping on the closed circuit cameras from the coffee shop. It's on YouTube. We might put the video in the show notes, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But it's on YouTube, so it's not like people aren't going to find it.
All right. Let them find it. They can do their own work.
And so he went up to the window. He was wearing a ski mask, but it was fucking Alaska, so who wasn't? Right. He took her to the shed next to his driveway. God. Remember, live-in girlfriend.
Yeah.
10-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
He took her to the shed next to his driveway, tied her up, and actually told her everything that he was going to do to her.
Come on.
Then he did it.
Oh, my God.
Which was rape her, then strangle her, and then leave her body in the shed. Because it was February and it was Alaska.
So she froze.
Yes. But the reason that he had to get it done right away was because the next day he had to go on vacation with his daughter and his girlfriend.
Oh, come on.
Aw, that's nice.
And he did.
Jesus Christ.
Now, poor Samantha ended up being how Israel eventually got caught. And she was also the biggest break in his ritual that had, up until then, worked for 10 years. And that ritual and the way he did what he did is why I called this episode A Marvel to Behold. Because Keyes, while fucking horrible, he was a marvel to behold.
Oh, God.
Because we learned in the beginning, the part that Binev read from the FBI about kills close to home. And, you know, serial killers get in ruts. They kill near where they feel safe.
Right.
They, you know, and like Dahmer killed people that, you know, you could fucking walk to everybody that he killed, basically, from his apartment.
Right.
Because he brought him back to his apartment to kill him. Same with John Wayne. All these killers, they have their established hunting grounds.
Right.
Now, fucking this guy, he started out close to home because, you know, Washington, when he lived in Washington and those other incidents. But to understand why it was escalation that did him in, we have to see just how fucking tight this guy ran his ship. Okay? So we're going to go through some details.
All right.
Okay.
Number one, we all know that whole nobody suspects that whoever blah blah was a serial killer, right? They always interview the neighbor. Seemed like the nicest guy ever.
Normal to me.
This fucking guy bamboozled people like a doggo wearing cat ears. Nobody believed him.
Right.
Like, no one could fucking believe that in a little tiny place like Anchorage that a crazy fucking serial killer was the guy that redid their kitchen. Like, right. I watched interviews where the guy that one of the people that subbed out, you know, his to him was like, the guy never took fucking breaks. He never took lunch. He just worked and worked and worked. Like, he was awesome. Like, everybody thought that he was awesome. Not just he never bothered anybody, that he was actually a good guy. But again, he was a doggo wearing cat ears. You thought it was nice person, but it was killer. Here he was a fucking mastermind. He ran a successful construction business, but that would not pay for all the trips he took. He also robbed banks. He would just was a fucking straight up bank robber.
Yep.
Because he needed a bunch of cash for the trips. Because he took a lot of trips. So now, what he did was, he'd get on a plane to someplace. Could be someplace in the U.S. Sometimes it was international. And when he got to wherever it was, he would then rent a car and then drive up to 1,000 miles even further away in some other fucking rando direction.
All right.
And then when he got wherever it was, he would do one of two things. Thing A, buy some weapons, shovels, Drano, and shit like that, and bury it so that he could use it next time he came to that area and murdered people.
Jesus!
Oh my god!
Or he would murder people with the tools and weapons from his murder cache, then chop them up, put Drano on them, and go the fuck home.
Oh my god.
So,
what the hell?
He even went so far as to take the battery out of his cell phone when he traveled, so there's no way that he could be traced.
Wow.
Even if your cell phone's off, if the battery's in it, it can be traced.
Right.
Fucking knew that. Because remember, this isn't like olden times. This was fucking 2012.
Yeah, exactly. Which is this really... had to look at the dates like a couple
times. This is not... So, anyone thinking that, like, oh, well, we must have cured serial killer. I guess not.
Right.
So think about the fucking elegance of it. And I use that word not... I am not admiring him.
Right.
He's fucking terrible. But if we were all going to sit at a bar, which we probably will sometime, and try to decide, well, if we were going to be a serial killer and we didn't want to get caught, what would we do? This is what we would invent.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Like, we would go, well, no, we'll go so fucking far away, and we'll only pay cash for everything, and nobody will ever know we were there. We'll just, you know, kill somebody and then go.
Right. Especially considering that we do the show, too. So, obviously, this is, it's obviously we would never actually kill someone. We only like to be in close connection.
No, but I would.
People.
I would definitely, rat you out for stuff you haven't done to the cops for the slightest advantage for myself. Yes. Like, I got a speeding ticket and I told them you killed somebody to try and get out of it.
Oh my gosh, samesies. I totally did that. I actually attempted. It's attempted murder charge, but don't worry. They'll be knocking at your door. So
that's just great.
I was wearing one of your masks.
Oh, well, see, it's a double-edged sword, that math. So he never thought that he would get caught. He actually thought that he would die in a shootout with the cops after one of his bank robberies.
Of course, it's always in a blaze of glory. Well,
right.
He actually, when he robbed banks, generally had two guns. There was one regular gun for the bank robbing part. And then he had another gun that held 100 fucking bullets, and that was just for fighting the cops if he ever got caught.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the Eagle Scout of serial killers. Like, he was super prepared for everything.
Wow.
So now, let that sink in for a minute, because what this guy did was eliminate everything that you would think, well, I know my neighborhood. I know the people in my neighborhood. You know, I know what my town is like. Well, this guy's not from anywhere near there.
Right.
He's like a murder tourist.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
he's like, let's go on vacation so I can kill somebody.
Right. Pretty much.
You know, when there's people that are like really, really lucky, but then there's people that are really, really good. And either way, they start to feel like they can't get beat.
Yeah. Yes.
He fucking killed her in the shed next to his driveway with his girlfriend and his daughter in the house.
Right.
Then he left her body in the shed and went in the house. And the next day, they all went on their big vacation.
And her body was just sitting there.
Yeah, because it's Alaska, and he's like, I don't even need a, you know,
those chest freezers that they always have on TV.
Right. He didn't even need a deep freeze.
Right.
So, not only did he go to random places and then drive to other random places, he also chose his victims at random.
Right.
The TV show Dark Minds featured an interview with former U.S. Attorney Craig Warner, who said, clip 4.
Well, and he told us explicitly, sometimes it's not what you were hoping for, but you take what comes across.
So, he killed random people. He killed men. He killed women. He didn't hunt in his own group. He wasn't killing mommy or daddy. He wasn't even killing people because of the fucked up Jew-hating mud people church.
Mm.
He just liked killing people. And he liked it so much that he took all these great pains to not get caught because he wanted to continue doing it.
Right.
And that's why Samantha Koenig, her murder was such a fuck up. Now, he told the FBI that he had a rule. If the person didn't have their own car that he could use to drive the body away with, then he would not kill them.
Wow.
Like, that's how well thought out he had basically everything.
Right.
Now, Samantha, the poor coffee girl, was supposed to get picked up by her boyfriend that night. Keys had been staking her out.
Oh, come on.
But he had decided that since she didn't have a car, that he was just going to rob the place. And that's where the escalation comes in. Because, you know, that we've talked about it in a million episodes. There's the kill and then there's the cooling off. Things accelerate because just like with anything else, you start out shooting cats in the stomach and that gives you the thrill that you're looking for. And it lets you build up the nerve to actually start hurting humans. And then it builds up from there. But it's like everything else. You lose the high faster.
Mm-hmm.
So he intended to just rob her, but he got carried away, which is a shitty way to say it, and like we learned before, he killed her. So now, then he goes, you know, on vacation, and I don't know how this happens in families, but like, if I go to the store twice in one day, it's like a big fucking deal.
Right.
He was just like, oh no, I'm not gonna go right back with you from New Orleans. You go on ahead back. I'll be right there. Like, what would you say? What he did was rob a fucking bank, but whatever.
No, if I was on vacation with my family and like my dad or my husband or something was like, oh no, just go ahead on without me. I'm just going to stay here and do some thing I'm going to not mention and I'll just be along
right,
later.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'd be like, who are you killing? What's happening right
exactly.
now? Yeah. It's not
so
normal.
They had gone to a cruise that left out of New Orleans. That was the big family vacation. Oh, so okay. Then because he needs money, because the construction business can't pay for all this shit, because remember, he also didn't like get fucking outed because his girlfriend was like, how come we ain't got no food? Because he was spending all his money on murder fucking baskets.
Right. Murder baskets?
So,
of course,
he figured out a really, really shitty way to scam money. Oh, now, by then, Samantha had been missing for 2 weeks. And remember, we know how small Anchorage was, so everybody was freaking the fuck out.
Right.
Keys texted her parents and said to go to a park in town.
Oh, my God. By the way, he texted them from his phone?
No, her phone.
Oh, okay. Jesus. Okay.
So, when they got there, there was a picture of Samantha with a copy of the February 13th Anchorage newspaper, which was proof that she was alive.
Oh, God.
And the note with it said, deposit $30,000 in ransom in Samantha's account, and the parents did. Now,
but it was only proof that she was alive on that date, not now.
Right, well, no, but she went missing on February 2nd, and this was 2 weeks later, so it was like, okay. What he had actually done was use a needle and thread to hold her eyes, like he sewed her eyes open so she looked alive for the picture. So there's that.
Come on.
So then there was $30,000 in her account. Now, this is not this is not a good fucking plan, because now cops get to be cops.
Right.
Because Keys went to the Southwest and people said they started getting hits on Samantha's ATM card in Arizona, in New Mexico.
Right.
Then they ended up. What?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So the parents put the 30 grand in the account. He goes to the Southwest.
Yes.
He takes out money in Arizona. Ping. He takes out money in New Mexico. Ping. Right. Somebody on a fucking closed circuit camera sees somebody, a guy, medium build, medium height guy, in a white Ford Focus. And they put an APB out on that. And then a trooper stops him in Texas because they had gotten another hit.
Right.
Because remember, they all think this is a kidnapping. There's an incredible fucking sense of urgency to right. get to Samantha.
Right.
So the cops find Keys. He had her ATM card and her cell phone. He had a bank robbing mask and a gun. Not the cop killing gun, just the regular bank robbing gun, because he didn't have all his shit with him. And a dye pack, because he had robbed the fucking bank, and they put a dye pack in the money bag.
Right.
And he knew that it was there, so he just took it out. Like,
of course he did.
Why didn't it blow up like in Raising Arizona? Oh, I missed that movie. Anyway.
Oh my God, that movie is amazing. Oh,
we should watch it right now. Let's watch it right now during the show. Okay.
I haven't seen that movie. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie.
What? Like,
I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, goodbye.
You're off the show.
Bye.
I'm fired from the show.
I'm going to email it to you. So, okay. How fucking lucky is that trooper that he didn't have his fucking flaming Blaze of Glory shootout gun
exactly.
with him?
Exactly.
So, he got arrested, and they're trying to figure out about Samantha, and the detectives start, you know, saying, tell us where she is and everything, and he just says, there's nothing I can do to help you.
Ugh, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
So, what did happen to Samantha? Well, she didn't leave her in the shed.
Oh, God. What do you mean?
After the vacation, but before he went to the Southwest, as far as I can tell from the timeline, he decided to go ice fishing.
Oh, my God.
And he took Samantha's frozen corpse with him. And I want to say something. The treatment of this poor girl and all the victims in our stories is reprehensible.
Yes.
We are not at any time minimizing their suffering, nor are we making light of these monsters.
No.
The goal of this show is to tell you things you didn't want to know in a way that is hopefully fun to learn. It does not make what happened better.
Right.
And so we are... It's shitty that these things happened, but they did happen. The only person who likes all this stuff is Britt, because she's fucked in the head, but we can't.
It's true.
So,
it's true.
When you go ice fishing, you need a shack that conceals you.
Right.
And it needs to be on a lake, and the lake needs ice. So what do you think Israel did? Yes. Because you also need a saw to cut a hole in the ice, nobody would think twice about a shack with saw noises coming from it.
Right, right.
No.
So he cut up poor Samantha in the concealment of the shack, weighted the pieces, and sunk them in Matanuska Lake. Because nobody thought twice about hearing a saw from inside an ice fishing shack.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the guy's just a fuck, and he... Like we said earlier in the show, he wanted a specific set of things to happen.
Right.
And we're gonna listen to 6 and 7 right now so that you can hear him talking to the FBI about it.
Okay.
Perfect.
Tell me what you would want.
I want an execution date.
For you?
Yes. I want this whole thing wrapped up and over with as soon as possible. Alright, I'll give you 2 bodies and a name, and that's all I'll give you today. If I get a cigar.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ.
So.
Just shoot him in the face right now.
Right, well, that solves everything.
God damn it.
He did give 2 bodies and a name. except that he just said that they were two bodies and he gave the name. But Bill and Lorraine Currier of Essex, Vermont.
Oh, God.
On June 8th, 2011, Keyes broke into their house and kidnapped him. He brought him to an abandoned farmhouse. He tied up the husband and was raping the wife when the husband got loose. God. That threw Keyes off his game, so he killed the husband and then the wife right after each other. The bodies have actually, as far as I can tell, never been found because Keyes wouldn't tell him where the fuck they were.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. Lovely.
He used one of his murder baskets that he had hidden another time that he had gone to Vermont. And when he went to Vermont that time, he flew to fucking Chicago, rented a car, and drove almost 1,000 miles to Vermont to this house that he had cased out way before.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
That's crazy.
So if he had not confessed, they would never have fucking linked him to their disappearance. Like, right. Never. Right. Ever, ever, ever.
Right.
So that's that one little piece of it. Because you saw he, all the stuff that you read from the FBI, BNEP.
Yes.
He didn't tell anybody.
Right.
Right.
Who they were.
Right. Yeah. He didn't tell, I killed somebody.
Yeah. Like, he said, well, her body's near a valley. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks.
Right, yeah.
Why don't you just say it's near the ground? Like, right. There's no...
Right.
That's not help.
Right.
So...
Ugh. Jesus.
So why?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not the first one who's done stuff like that when it comes to that point. Correct?
But usually, that's true, as far as dicking with... Killers, especially prolific serial killers, will confess to a bunch of different crimes to try and spin it out so that they stay alive longer.
Right.
You can't, if you execute me, you're never going to find out what happened to, you know,
June Smith.
What's his face or whatever like that. This is the fucking opposite.
Right.
He wanted to die. So why though? Because why did he play all these games?
Right.
Why did he insist on getting executed on the quick and then kill himself anyway?
Right.
Now, what he said, and I'm not even, it's the only fucking clip that makes him even sound halfway human, so I didn't include it.
Yes.
He said he wanted to spare his daughter.
Right.
Right.
He said, oh, I don't want my daughter to Google me and find all this stuff. You know how TV is and blah, blah, blah. He didn't want to like a bunch of TV and press and fucking podcasts like us talking about it.
Too bad.
He claimed, and this is where it's kind of dumb, his daughter was born in 2002 in a post-Google world, so
right.
There was no way that he was going to keep her dumb enough to not
right. How's she gonna go, not
where did
about
daddy
this?
Go?
Right.
You know,
of course.
And it's not her fault, poor kid. So,
right, no, of course not.
So it feels like there was another thing beneath that, because that just didn't fly.
Right.
So now we're going to listen to clips 5 and 3, which is attorney, U.S. Attorney Warner again, and then Keyes himself.
Okay, here we go.
The one time that he gave us unflattering sexual details about himself was the only time I ever saw him look uncomfortable. He was extremely uncomfortable with relating certain details of some of his activities. It was a stunning difference, you know, from his usual demeanor.
There are certain aspects of the things that I've done that I would prefer never became public. The details, certain details. You know, to me, that's a major concern.
So, certain details.
Yeah.
There were certain details that agitated him that he didn't want to get out.
Right.
So what do you think they were?
I mean, I don't know. He couldn't get it up. He likes to have sex with 5-year-olds. He likes to skull fuck them. I don't know. He chops off dicks and eats them. I mean, I having done this podcast, I have no way of knowing.
Yeah,
that's true.
He hollowed and out. Then, a, he hollowed like, out a foot and had sex there, with it. I don't know.
She's like, oh, he probably hugged people too hard.
Right. Exactly.
Peter can't say anything.
And, no, she just went to bed at 10 o'clock.
Okay, good.
But still.
the actual he was raping the dudes as well as the women that he killed, and he liked fucking the corpses a lot.
Of course he did.
And apparently, out of all the shit that he did, that was the thing that he found troublesome.
He's like, it's totally cool that I kidnapped a teenager, killed her in my shed, raped her, chopped her up and threw her in a lake. But I don't like that I had sex with the dead bodies. That's weird.
I don't want people to think ill of me.
Right. Like, I have a good reputation.
I mean, that piece of it. I mean, that piece by itself, that one thing, that is apparently, from what I can tell,
that's what he had a problem
is what he did it for. I mean, wonderful. not the killing. He just fucking liked killing.
Right. That was just fun times for everybody.
But the whole, I got to end this and die and whatever like that and not tell. But the fact is that he's such a fucking coward, but he was so good at what he did. How many fucking cases are out there?
Right.
Right.
Like, how many people that could have, I mean, no one wants to go, hey, you know, that person that you still hold out hope, like there's maybe one day we should do a, story about someone who goes missing and then it just turned out they went to the mall and forgot to tell anybody and then they came home later that day and everything was fine.
Mm. Instead right, of yes. just Let's ended up that.
In the bottom of a fucking well or being a sex slave or some shit like that. Right. But as it turns out, this guy was different from every other serial killer we've ever covered and really every other serial killer that I've ever heard of. And it was so recent, and I've never heard anybody talk about him. I've never seen, I mean, there were news reports about it, but I don't watch the network news because I'm not 100 like B-Nev.
what? Well, we're both younger than you.
Nowadays, 100 is the new 80.
That's right.
Well,
you got a point there, sister.
For the record, Acadia is older than both of us. The end.
That's true.
But not
put together. Put together.
Because he wears a scarf when it's really warm outside because of that thinner skin old people thing he's got going
on.
Yeah,
that's right. Translucent. So that is the story of
Israel.
Fuckface Israel Keys. Yeah. And there was a part that I didn't have B-Nev read.
Oh God!
From the FBI site,
which I'm really glad because I'm assuming it's pretty bad, and thank goodness C-Nev just went into her bed.
That's right. Well,
you don't have to read it. I'm just because remember we only did up until the time he got to Alaska.
Yeah.
Right.
So they have all of these things about this timeline of because they could find travel records because he always traveled under his own name. He would pay cash, but he would travel under his own name. He didn't have a fake ID or anything like that. And the website, the FBI website is like October 31st, 2008 to November 5th, 2008. Keys flew to Seattle following travel to multiple other states, including North Dakota and Arizona. On October 31st, he rented a car in Seattle. On November 2nd, he flew from Seattle to Boston.
Oh, wait, when?
2008. Oh. He returned to Seattle and flew back to Anchorage on November 5th. In April of 2009, he admitted to abducting a female victim from a state, from, quote, a state on the East Coast.
Oh, my God.
And transporting that person over multiple state lines into New York. The victim is buried in upstate New York. Investigators do not believe this victim is buried on the property Keys owns in Constable, New York. So that narrows it down to every place in New York that's not his yacht.
Right. Right. What? So, good luck.
Now, this is the most fucked up one to me. April 10th, 2009. Keys robbed Community Bank in Tupper Lake, New York. After the bank robbery, Keys stated he parked in a nearby campground outside of the area to wait for the emergency response vehicles to pass. He stated he sat in this campground for several hours.
Oh my god, of course he did.
He just sat there.
Ugh.
With his bank robbing and money stealing and murdering and going to Boston, and it's possible he saw Jen.
Oh god, so creepy.
Well, I was actually just thinking about earlier, but I didn't bring it up because I wanted to hear the story. Was Jen mentioned that she was in Alaska, and when was that again?
No, that was 1993.
Oh yeah, he was a kid then.
That was true, because he didn't.
If it was a cat, he probably would have shot her in the stomach, but no.
That's true. Yeah, because he wasn't in the army until 98. So. Yep.
Right.
But I was like,
she was safe.
Yeah,
because I was okay going to say,
if they were there at the same time again, that would be another one of our weirdo things that happened. Because we obviously, I'm not sure if we follow serial killers or they follow us.
But they're too close to us. That's for sure.
That's the fucked up thing with this guy is that you couldn't do. There's nothing you could do.
Right.
If he wanted to get you, he was going to get you.
And then he had a murder basket somewhere.
Everywhere.
Although I would like to say, just as an aside, that what I have decided long ago, living in this city and hearing about various things where, say, women got, like, accosted and, like, forced into their houses and then were, like, raped for days and eventually murdered and all this stuff. I already decided a long time ago, if somebody comes up to me on the street and is like, come with me, I'm going to be like, no, just kill me here. I'm not fucking going anywhere with you. You're not going in my house. I'm not getting in a car. Do whatever you're going to do right here on the street with 50 people around, because it's not going to get better for me.
Yeah, just parkour it.
Just park, exactly. See, that's why I do the parkour. See?
That's
so I can even parkour. If
you
did it
really badly and broke your leg, then he wouldn't want, like, he's like, well, I'm not going to fucking carry you.
Drag you out, with so your broken leg. Forget it. See?
That's not a bad idea. Just break your own leg right from the get.
Just as soon as a weird guy comes up to you, just break your leg.
No, not even a weird guy. Just he anyone. Didn't look weird. Just if anyone.
Anyone cocks to you on the street, break your leg. Perfect.
You're
welcome, listeners. You're welcome.
Wow. Right.
So I guess that's what happens when we decide to branch out and look at not the same old serial killers. We find out about a guy that could have killed any of us because
usually all over the fucking place.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Right. That's great.
He could have killed Tom or Jerry. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
That's it. Well, I've disturbed myself.
Yeah.
You've disturbed me.
The next time I make an appearance, can we go back to, like, a non-serial killer story?
We can.
Like we used to do.
I can't plan that far ahead. You're like a fucking comet. You only come around like every 17 years.
BNev is going to be now, here.
So it's got to be more frequent or you might not ever see me again.
BNev, we might have a special episode next week.
We do have our special ladies.
But we might do a Strangeful too.
Maybe. All chicks, no dicks.
That's right.
Oh, that's another good name.
That is a good
name.
That's
another good name.
Yep. I like
it. I don't know which one's better.
We'll just use them all. We'll just rattle off like 10 names.
Well, now that I know that you're going to talk about the zit pop and I'm not listening.
Oh, you're listening.
I don't usually talk about that. I mean, I know that that's normally what guys in their heads believe. Like, we're sitting around talking about like girly stuff and like pillow fights and stuff like that. But that's not usually what happens.
No, not at all.
Fine.
No, not really. But we can pretend.
Fine. Yeah. Fine.
All right. Well,
if you're pleased, you didn't want it to be known that you raped everyone that you killed, whether it was a lady or a dude, and you humped their corpses because you're a fucking monster and your daughter is going to be fine, but you shouldn't feel good about it because it's in spite of you.
That's
so if you're listening from Ghost World, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely fuck
yourself.
Which you would probably like because you're dead.
That's true. Oh, probably. Snap. Yeah.
I would drop my mic, but it was too expensive.
Right.
And we don't have any money, so go to patreon.com/Acadia and buy me a new bike. Woo, Mike, woo. Yes,
yay. Because we want to be able to drop them.
That's right.
Like,
every episode.
Cool.
That's
we want to be with all the cool kids doing all the cool things and the droppings and the mics.
Yep.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
and the things.
It would be cheaper for me to just kidnap somebody named Mike and drop them.
Actually, you know, I sent one time to John these, they have these teeny tiny little fake microphones that you can buy on Amazon. I think they were like 99 cents and you got like 100 of them.
Oh my God.
Well, that sounds like a good thing to dump off of a building. Take that, New York.
They were little tiny plastic microphones. They were awesome. He keeps them in his desk at work.
Nice. Fantastic.
Oh. Yeah, good stuff.
All right.
That's it.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, you guys are pretty great.
Yeah, you guys can sometimes be cool and stuff.
No, I meant the audience, not you monsters.
No, I mean, I was talking about the audience, too.
Oh, fun. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.